You're listening to KONV 91.5, and this is Neon Eden. I'm your host, Patrick Kulikin. You can read my columns in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. My co-host is Las Vegas Sun reporter Tovin Lapan. Today we're talking downtown. The city of Las Vegas is billing 2012 as the year of downtown, as projects like the new City Hall, the Mob Museum, and the Smith Center open, and more are on the way. Online shoe retailer Zappos is scheduled to move into its new headquarters downtown in late 2013. They will move their 1,200 employees into the old City Hall. Our guest today is Flynn Fagg, City of Las Vegas Director of Planning, and we thank you for being here, Flynn. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been here, and your background.
Certainly. I've been here in Las Vegas for 9 years, and so that makes me a nearly native in terms of Las Vegas time. My background is actually architecture and urban design, and so I didn't come from a political science background. My interest is really in design issues. I studied urban design at the University of Miami in the new urbanism program back in the early 90s, and worked.
Let me break in for
certainly.
A second. Define new urbanism for us.
New urbanism is basically a movement that goes back to the respected principles of urban design in terms of more traditional design forms, contrasted with the more suburban design principles that picked up in the U.S. in the 50s and 60s and kind of carried out through today. New urbanism looks at basically the scale of neighborhoods down to the block level.
So some important features of that new urbanism would be, for instance, walkability.
Exactly. Designing for the pedestrian and keeping that in mind. You know, we have some local examples of models for new urbanist development, looking at traditional patterns such as downtown Las Vegas or even the John S. Park neighborhood. Good examples. What they were attempting to do out in Henderson with Inspirata was modeled on new urbanist principles. So we have a couple of examples here in the Valley, both new and then traditional from back of the turn of the century, last century.
And did you come here to Las Vegas with those ideas, thinking that you would try to implement some of those ideas? It's a tough place to do that.
We
didn't embrace that movement.
No, we certainly didn't.
Even though we were building in the 90s a lot, and so it would have made sense maybe, but instead we built suburbia.
Yeah. One of the things that brought me to Las Vegas was really Oscar Goodman and what he thought about downtown and what downtown Las Vegas could be. And that's really what brought me here more than anything, because he had the vision and he understood what the downtown needed to be. And I wanted to be a part of that. And so certainly coming here to Las Vegas, I wanted to bring that expertise and that experience that I had and see what we could do here.
So tell us about your job as director of planning. What do you do?
What do I do? That's a good question. And this answer usually puts people to sleep at parties, so I'll try and keep it as interesting as possible. Essentially, the planning department is responsible for land use and for buildings in the city of Las Vegas. Uses in terms of what uses can go where, and then buildings, where they're placed on the site, and ultimately the massing of buildings. Getting into the construction of buildings, that's the building and safety department's responsibility, but uses and the bulk of buildings, how the city's designed.
All right, great. And could you give us a little bit of an update just to get started on the downtown projects and sort of how maybe the recession has affected the speed at which things are getting done and where things stand, sort of, for example, like in Symphony Park and in those development areas?
Certainly. You know, when we had the boom in construction between 2003 and 2007, we had quite a lot going on in the downtown area. We had around 40 high-rise buildings approved by city council, of which, you know, four or five of those actually got built. And so the recession did kind of put a damper on things in the downtown area. But we've started to see a couple of things come online recently which do offer signs of hope. For example, Symphony Park and the Smith Center for the Performing Arts. That's a good example. The new City Hall, the Mob Museum, and then the Neon Museum, which is going to open up in July of this year. And so we've had a couple of projects coming online. And then, of course, the biggest thing is, of course, the announcement of Zappos coming downtown, and with them coming their employees and their needs.
You mentioned your own background in new urbanism. What can we take from what have we learned from the resurgence of other downtown areas all across the country in the last, say, two decades? And what can we apply here?
It's a combination of things. Number one is, what uses do we have in the downtown area to really make it successful? And again, going back to what Oscar Goodwin wanted to do, was to really have that good balance and mixture of uses. We need residents in our downtown area to make it a thriving place. We also need to support our existing businesses that are there. For example, the tourism that we have in the downtown area, and then offices, and then also bring in cultural attractions as well. So you need to look at the uses that you have in the downtown area. Another thing that's very important is also to look at how people use the downtown and making it comfortable for them to do so. So looking at the pedestrian scale of thing, making sure that we have trees along our sidewalk so it's comfortable to walk, so people feel protected, making sure that we have lighting, things like that. It's a combination of all of those things that help to make a downtown successful.
Mm-hmm. So for instance, Ogden between downtown and Symphony Park, not a very... not a pleasant walk.
No, not really. Not yet.
Kind of a narrow walkway beneath mm-hmm. the train overpass. Or is this all being discussed?
Absolutely. That's one of the obstacles that we have with Symphony Park and the World Market Center, the outlet mall being on the west side of the railroad tracks, and the rest of downtown being on the east side of the railroad tracks.
How to connect those.
Exactly. How do you bridge that gap? And it's been very difficult to work with the railroad because obviously the railroad isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And so you either have to go under or you have to go over. So we do have a pedestrian bridge that's planned from the new city parking garage, which will help get people over to the Smith Center. But you're right, the underpasses don't feel very comfortable for pedestrians, and that's something that we could certainly improve upon.
Back to other cities. I mean, do you look at other cities as a model for what our downtown might become? Obviously, ours is going to be unique because of our unique history, and just the Las Vegas is certainly set apart from most other cities, but Western cities, for example, Denver, Salt Lake?
Yeah, there are other cities to learn from. Portland is one of the Western examples that people point out as being an example of great urbanism.
Although a much older city, though, right?
It is. So that it has about 50 years.
Sort of built
years.
Before the automobile.
Yeah. And one of the things that's interesting about Portland is the scale of the blocks in the downtown area. They're much smaller than many other cities. Salt Lake, for example, has very huge blocks, and so that makes it very difficult to be kind of a pedestrian-friendly city. Las Vegas is kind of right in the middle in terms of the scale of the downtown area, but certainly you can look at other cities, Portland, Seattle, some of the things that have been happening in the Los Angeles area, even in terms of the improvements that they have made, as being examples for what we can do in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of staying along those lines, a lot of development plans and a lot of cities have like for example, San Diego or Detroit, they've used stadiums for pro teams to build around, help revitalize. I think of the Gas Lamp in San Diego, mm-hmm. where I used to live, and. And I was wondering, we don't have any pro teams, obviously. There are some ideas for arenas or stadiums in the downtown area. I know they've come up. But what do you see maybe as our anchors that we're building around if, there isn't going to be some pro team anytime soon, obviously, that's going to draw people downtown?
Yeah, that's kind of a sore spot in our history, is that we've never been able to draw a professional sports team. We still keep up the hopes. I mean, there's land that's available that could accommodate a stadium at some point in time. But for the immediate future, I think you need to look at other things as being anchors for the downtown area. One of the things in our downtown business plan is, again, to support the existing businesses that are there, the tourism that we have. And we're starting to see that. The Golden Gate is adding on to it, the oldest hotel that we have in Las Vegas. The Golden Nugget has done a new tower in the last couple of years, and others, the Plaza, just recently redid all of their rooms. And so supporting that, I think, is important, that tourism will always be a component of our downtown area and certainly something that we should support. But again, I think Zappos brings a great opportunity to bring additional residents to the downtown area. And with them, we have the entertainment district that certainly has taken off. And that has been a big draw for the downtown area. And what's most important about that is it's not just drawing tourists, but more importantly, it's drawing locals from all over the valley. And that's the thing I think that we need to focus on, is what are the attractions for locals? How can we bring them to the downtown area?
And Zappos moving downtown. Let's presume that every single Zappos employee wanted to live downtown. Is there housing available at the moment?
At the moment, I don't think there's enough housing.
There's not enough housing. So what do we do in a tough economic environment, especially with so many empty residential dwellings around the valley?
Well, demand is one of the things that will help generate new units. And so by virtue of having people who want to live in the downtown area, we'll start to see that rents start to increase or unit prices start to increase.
And that
will draw investors to the downtown area. We still have about 2,000 units that are approved and still have valid approvals that could be built within the next year and a half. So there are people out there who are just waiting to see what the market will do, and hopefully things will happen soon.
As you know, we don't have a local rule here in Nevada. We don't have home rule. All power rests with the philosopher kings of Carson City. And I'm wondering if there's legislation that the city would like to have to give it some regulatory powers that could help steer development and improve downtown.
I think we've been given most of the regulatory powers that we need. Municipalities have the ability to adopt their own zoning regulations, and so we do have control over that and any incentives that we can offer through zoning. One of the other things that we have, one of the other tools that we have, is redevelopment. And the city has a separate department which handles the redevelopment of the downtown area. There are limitations placed on what redevelopment funds can be used for. And I think to a certain degree that's a good thing, that we have to be very wise and very conscientious about how we use public money to encourage revitalization of areas. But that's one of the things that we might look at as positive aspects that could happen at the state level that might encourage redevelopment here at the local level.
And I live downtown in the Soho Lofts, so right there in the Arts District. And I was wondering, you know, I walk around, I have a dog, so I'm walking every day through my neighborhood. And while I'm certainly not against any new businesses, and I don't want to be seen as being anti-business in any way, when I do see new openings and it's a chapel or a law firm, there's two new ones opening up on my block.
A wedding chapel,
not a church or anything, but a wedding chapel.
We're not anti-religion.
Only weddings. We're not anti-religion either here, but you know, wedding chapels. And I feel like there are plenty of those in the downtown area. And while I understand the point of keeping things together, is there a point where you can maybe encourage other businesses? Because we could certainly use other things, you know, in that area that aren't there in prevalence.
That's really a good question, and one that needs a little bit of explanation. In terms of zoning or land use controls, can we say, you know, we want a grocery store here or we want a coffee shop here, as opposed to bail bonds or tattoo parlors, which is what we seem to be getting a lot of? Zoning is largely permissive in that it gives you a list of these are things that are acceptable in this area, but it's not proscriptive in that it doesn't tell you this has to be here and that has to be there. It's largely a market-driven function, and so whatever the market demands, that's what you will see developing. Now, there are certain things that cities can do to encourage that. Number one is they can incentivize certain uses, and that would either be through land use regulations. For example, City of New York, in order to get grocery stores in underserved areas, gives a density bonus for those types of uses.
Explain that.
For example, in an area that doesn't have a grocery store, they can grant a developer additional units or additional square footage in order to bring a grocery store in. So if you have a grocery store as part of your development, then you get additional development rights associated with that.
So let's say the grocery store was going to be on the ground floor
exactly.
of that residential building.
You would get to put more residential units.
So a less of a height restriction.
Correct.
Okay.
So there are certain incentives that you can do to encourage uses. Again, through the city's redevelopment agency, there's also other things that they can do to encourage uses. But ultimately, one of the problems that we've been having...
And discourage uses, right?
And discourage uses at the same time.
Or do we not have enough tools at our disposal to nudge in that direction? Because certainly other cities, it seems to me, while there's, you know, they're not saying you can't do this or you must do that, there seems to be, more power over
development.
Yeah, you have to be very cautious about how you do it. For example, with liquor uses, everywhere but in the entertainment district and the arts district, we have separation requirements between taverns. And so that's one way that you discourage uses is that you
have certain number of feet between.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you don't have one bar after another.
Another way that you do that is through a discretionary process, such as a special use permit. For example, bail bonds require a special use permit. And so that they have to go before city council, and city council ultimately determines, is this use appropriate here in this location? So there's a couple of different ways that you can discourage uses as well. But going back to the thought, one of the things that we've always wanted to see in the downtown area is a grocery store, because as we have more residents coming into the area, obviously they need services such as that. And so far we haven't been successful in finding one that will go into the downtown area, primarily because we don't have enough residents. We don't have the critical mass yet that we need. And so people like yourself, who are the pioneers who've moved in, will have to wait a few years until the services follow them, unfortunately.
Really, you think it'll be a few years?
I'm hoping it will only be a few years.
When we talk about Zappos bringing their employees in, I mean, that's not till the end of 2013, right, that those residents will come in. But I did want to sort of a follow-up question is that when I walk through my neighborhood, there's tons of single-family residences that are now law firms, where that's where lawyers keep their offices. And I was wondering if you knew, first of all, a little bit of that history. I mean, I imagine at one point they were families living in those homes, and was that a conscious decision by the city to get, you know, somebody in those homes so they weren't vacant? And is it now time to maybe look at trying to get families back into those homes?
You know, that's a good question. One of the things that's happened in Las Vegas is that because it's grown very rapidly, we've seen kind of a transition in some of our neighborhoods that are somewhat less than desirable. For example, the neighborhood that you're talking about immediately south of the Las Vegas High School was once at one time single-family residences. But because of the rapid growth and the rapid expansion of the area, suddenly they didn't work as well as single-family because of the encroachment of commercial uses. And so you started to see those turn into offices. Question is, will they ever go back to single-family residences? Probably not. One of the things that we would like to see in the downtown areas, though, is, again, a mixture of uses or mixed-use buildings where you might have offices on the ground floor, or commercial on the ground floor, and then residences above. So
why wouldn't we want to steer those dwellings and turn them back into residences? I mean, they're beautiful, classic old homes, many of them. Why wouldn't the law firms, why shouldn't they be in the towers?
Well, they probably should be in the towers. But again, looking at the size of downtown Las Vegas, it has a very small downtown for a city of 600,000 people that there was just kind of a natural encroachment into a single-family neighborhood that had been so close to the downtown area. I mean, looking at the original blocks in downtown Las Vegas that were developed when the railroad came through, that originally had the railroad workers' bungalows, I mean, that was in the area of Casino Center, Main Street, Carson Bridger, that all used to be single family at one point in time. So it's transitioning. And again, that's just because Las Vegas has expanded so quickly that its downtown didn't really have enough room to expand for the commercial businesses that you would expect to have.
I mean, on that note, would we expect our downtown, you said it was small for a city of our size, will we see downtown growing, if you will? I mean,
to a certain
going beyond what we see as its sort of boundaries today.
To a certain degree, I think that you will. I think it will largely be contained by the freeways, I-15 on the west and the 515 on the north.
But another genius move, putting a highway right through the city.
Yeah. I think immediately north in the what we call the cultural corridor area, I think you might see some additional expansion there in that area. But I think, again, it will largely be contained to the south and to the east of where the freeways are. One of the things that we do want to do is protect the rest of our residential neighborhoods that aren't immediately in the path of commercial development. John S. Park on the south side of downtown and the residential neighborhoods on the west side of downtown, West Las Vegas, those you want to preserve because they have such wonderful character and wonderful homes, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we just sum up here? I mean, what should policymakers be looking at, say, the city council and the new mayor, what policies should they be looking to pursue as we try to continue to encourage progress downtown?
From my experience and my background, I'm going to be most concerned about urban aesthetics, about the quality of development that we have downtown, and also making sure that our streets, our pedestrian realm, is comfortable for pedestrians. That's one of the things that I think that we need to do a better job of. I was walking to the Helder Auto Parade the other day, and I was still surprised that there are still sidewalk segments that are missing there in that immediate neighborhood. And I thought, you know, darn it, didn't we already program those for construction? So there's little things like that that we need to do, and those are the things that matter greatly. Looking at
some of the, I mean, some of that is a, is sort of a big deal, right? I mean, you need to widen sidewalks.
Exactly.
And sometimes you're going to have to go from four lanes to two on some streets.
Yeah, we will be doing some measures to reduce travel lanes. Yeah. First Street is a good example of that, where we've widened the sidewalks and reduced that down to just one travel lane in each direction on street parking. So we'll see more of that occurring, where we are widening the sidewalks to accommodate pedestrians, more bike lanes to accommodate bicycles, more street trees, better lighting, things like that. I think we also need to do a wayfinding program for downtown to make it easier for people to get to downtown and also to locate parking. Hiring a parking manager for downtown, I think, is an important step for us as well, so that people have places to park. And then bus rapid transit, I think, is another thing that has been an important policy decision, is to have transit in the downtown area so people can use that as well. On the other side, getting away from looking at design and development, I think programs for small businesses to bring small businesses downtown would continue to be important, so that we can encourage them to grow and to flourish as well.
All right, our guest today has been Las Vegas City Director of Planning, Flynn Fagg. We thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Neon Eden. I'm J. Patrick Kulik, and your host, my co-host, is Tovin Lepan. This is KUNV 91.5.